Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Blogcast. It's October 26, 2015, and this is episode 494. Today we conclude our four-part series of travelogues to walk you through a total of 40 images from my 2015 Iceland Touren workshop with Tim Folmer and our amazing group for this year. We pick up the trail on September 29 as we headed over to Fjallsjökull. This is a glacier that you can get quite close to on a promontory on the other side of the lagoon. You may recall from a few weeks ago that I mentioned my decision to take my 100-400mm lens to Iceland instead of my 70-200mm lens. Although the 70-200 lens is a great workhorse, I really enjoyed being able to zoom past 200mm, even for landscape work. For this photo, I zoomed right in to 400mm just to capture the front edge of the glacier and a slither of the water in the lagoon for context. Although the height of the pinnacles of ice are smaller, this really reminds me of Antarctica, which is amazing really when you consider how much cheaper it is to travel to Iceland. My settings for this image were an 80th of a second at f11 ISO 400. As I mentioned last week, because we had a fair amount of wind, I was often choosing to increase my ISO to avoid low shutter speeds, so that I could reduce the risk of camera shake, even though I was using a good tripod. I didn't do much to this image in post either. I just added plus 10 on the clarity slider and the saturation sliders in Lightroom to give the image a very slight boost. The following day, September 30, we would drive all the way back to Reykjavik from Jökulsárlón, but I ensured that we had plenty of time to photograph two of my favourite waterfalls in Iceland, as we'll see shortly. On the way though, we made another brief stop at Kalfafell because there was some beautiful low clouds around the distinctive mountain, as we can see in this photograph. There was a good breeze on this day, again, so we didn't have the mirror-like reflection that we saw in the image that I shared in part 3 of this series. Because of this, I decided to go a little wider and include the near bank of the pond. And this, of course, enabled me to include more of the dramatic sky. I was fairly undecided as to whether to go to black and white on this image, but I finally decided on colour and brought out some of the detail and the heavy sky with Colour Effects Pro, because the original was a bit flat. As we just jumped off the bus for a quick photo here, I was hand-holding for this shot, with a shutter speed of 1/100th of a second at f14, ISO 200, and a focal length of 28mm. After driving for a few more hours, we arrived at Skógafoss, which is the waterfall that probably played the largest part in me wanting to visit Iceland than any other location. Just looking at this photograph, it's hard to believe that this is just a few minutes from a car park, and we always have to wait for a break in the crowds of people that flock here each day to not be in the scene. But if you're patient, you can get photographs like this without people in the foreground. On an overcast day like it was when we visited, if you put an ND8 neutral density filter on your lens, you can generally get a shutter speed of around 0.5 second to 1 second with an aperture of f14 at ISO 100. I shot this at 0.6 of a second. You always want to try to shoot waterfalls when it's overcast, as direct sunlight on a waterfall makes it very contrasty, and in my opinion, most of the beauty is lost then. I converted this to black and white in Silver Effects Pro, and made the rock and the green moss either side of the falls very dark, giving it this look that I love for most of my Iceland waterfall images. The white specks that you can see on the cliff face are seagulls, which hopefully gives you a little bit of a sense of scale too. The falls are actually 25 metres or 82 feet wide, with a drop of 60 metres or 200 feet, so they're quite a sight to stand in front of. The second waterfall that we'd photograph on this day is Seljalandsfoss, which is just a 10-minute drive from Skogafoss. As we can see in this photograph, although the drop is the same at 60 metres, this is a more slender waterfall. I always think of Skogafoss as the sumo wrestler and Seljalandsfoss as the lady in a kimono, although that's my Japanese influence sneaking in there, of course. One of the things that I love about this waterfall is that the wind easily catches the streams of water as they fall, so you get these beautiful curves in the water as it moves in the wind. For this image, again, shot with the ND8 attached to my lens, my shutter speed was 0.8 seconds at f14 ISO 100. Once again, I've made the sides of the fawns very dark, although they're green in reality. I just much prefer this look, as it enables me to reduce the scene to almost black with the beautiful, delicate streams of water and the cloud of mist that rises up from the pool at the bottom of the falls. While we're talking about this waterfall, I'd like to mention that two of my Iceland images from 2014, including one of these falls, are currently in a collection of prints available from a company called West Elm, who I have tied up with Offset, the stock agency that I license my work through. You can see the collection and buy reasonably priced prints of any of the images at mbp.ac/West Elm. So that's WESTELM, if you're interested. Although photographically I prefer the front view, you can actually walk behind Seljalandsfoss for a view like this one that we can see in this photograph. Again, I shot a number of images because of the way the water moves in the wind, and chose this one for the patterns that the water makes as they hit the pool below the falls. Also, if you look at the bottom left of this image, you'll see a bridge over the stream leading from the falls. That's where I stand for my main shot of these falls. It's always fun though, because if anyone walks on the bridge during your exposure, it moves, ruining your shot. So you have to ensure that no one moves and time your images when no tourists are about to walk on the bridge. I also waited for most of the people walking up the bank in the bottom right of this shot to move out of the photo. It's important to note too that you're basically photographing in a shower at this point, with the spray coming off the falls falling right onto your camera and your lens. With light spray or rain, I usually use my air blower to blow the droplets of water to the edge of the filter, but in this much spray, you have to wipe it. I also hold a cloth over the front of the lens as I wipe it to stop more spray hitting the front of the lens as I wipe, and I leave the cloth over the front of the lens until I'm actually ready to make the exposure. In fact, I use a 2-second timer and remove the cloth a split second before that 2 seconds elapses, and this enables me to get shots without droplets on the front filter, the front of the lens, as those droplets will usually ruin your photo. After spending an hour at Seljalandsfoss, we continued our drive back to Reykjavik for 2 more nights. On October 1, the last shooting day of the tour, we travelled northeast of Reykjavik to the small but very wide waterfall at Hraunfossa. This photo actually shows only a small percentage of the 900 metre wide series of falls as water flows from ledges of less porous rock in the lava field. I've never liked my photos here when I go really wide, trying to include all of the falls as the details are lost in a wide shot. So this photo is about as wide as I personally like to go at 50mm focal length. I used an ND8 here for a 2-second exposure at f11 ISO 100. It was raining at this point, so the sky was very dark, giving me a good long exposure, even with just an ND8. As you can see, this is one of the few places where there are enough small trees to actually enable the full colour to play a part in the image. This is one of the reasons that I time these tours for September, as well as the fact that most tourists have left by September as well. I also used my 100-400mm lens at 100mm to zoom in and shoot more details, such as the angel that Tim Vollmer often points out to the group here. The shape of the water to the left of centre in this image looks a little bit like an angel with its head and wings spread. I actually changed my ISO to 200 here, and to counter that, changed my shutter speed to 1 second, as that's plenty to get that beautiful silky look in the water. And it also helped me to reduce the movement in the trees as they caught the wind, although I don't dislike capturing that movement in my images either. I think it adds to the dynamism of a shot. A few minutes walk upstream takes you to Barnafoss, which we can see in this image. I shot longer focal lengths here too, like in previous years, but here in this photo I used the new Canon 11-24mm f4 lens at 12mm to capture the entire flow of the water that can be seen from this spot, from when it enters view in the top right down to where it flows out of view on the left. Going wide here also enabled me to capture almost equal amounts of colour on all four corners of the image as well, which I quite like. This spot is quite popular with day trippers and school trips at this time of year because of the beautiful colour, so we had to be patient here too, waiting for the tourists that walk along the rocks in the top left to leave. I think I ended up cloning out one person for this particular image. This was also shot with a 1 second exposure at f14 ISO 200. We keep our eye out for some Icelandic horses throughout the trip, and Tim generally knows where there are some that are more friendly or less shy, and we stop to photograph some of these on our way back to Reykjavik after photographing the falls, as we can see here. The difficulty with ad hoc horse shoots in Iceland is that they usually come over very close to the wire fence around their enclosure, so you have to frame your shots in such a way as to not include the fence. That's partly what I was doing here, but this one grey horse that lifted its head up above the others for a moment caught my eye, so I couldn't resist shooting this. I'm not exactly sure why, but I like this, despite it being a little too busy, and I've cropped the nose off of the brown horse to the right. Maybe it's the waves formed by the various heads with just the grey horse sticking his head above the rest that appeals to me. We'll finish our 40 images that we've looked at over these 4 episodes with this last somewhat humorous shot of the horses, with the grey one sticking its tongue out at us. This was actually just part of a yawn, but there was a moment when the tongue was sticking out, which just kind of makes me smile. Under the heavily overcast sky, both of these images were shot at ISO 1600 to give me a shutter speed of 400th of a second with an aperture of f8. I wanted a fast shutter speed as the horses were moving and their hair blowing around, but also so that I could safely zoom in to 400mm if needed to, without worrying about the camera movement that might have crept in as I was hand-holding. This became our last shoot of the tour, so as is customary, on the bus on the way back to Reykjavik, We recorded a brief message from each of the members of the group, which I'll play to you now. John, who starts off, totally cracked us up reading his message from his iPhone screen. Take a listen.
So here we are on the last, just after the last shoot of the trip. It's the 2015 Martin Bailey and Tim Vollmer Iceland tour, and we're literally on the last day, and I'm about to go around the bus and get a quick comment from each of the participants. Well, actually, one of them's stayed behind today, so 13 of the 14. So, John, would you like to say a few words? Tell us where you're from.
Okay, John Burrows from Melbourne, Australia. I came on the trip because of the awesome images that Martin creates. It was a privilege to be allowed to tag along as Martin reshot some of his Iceland classics with his new Canon 5DS. I learnt by observation how a pro attires himself and the techniques he uses to be able to shoot for hours in heavy rain and gusty winds and still get great images. Martin is as one with moisture. However, his photos of Namibia show he can also be at home in arid deserts. So my takeaway from this trip is that fortune favours the prepared photographer.
Bless you.
you're crazy, John.
I'm Trish from Australia. I especially like the autumn colour and the awesome glaciers.
Thank you very much. Duncan.
Yep, so I'm Duncan from Australia. The highlight of the trip was Iceland.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Yeah, brilliant. Rob.
Robert from Long Island, New York. I would say Martin and Tim is a great team. I've thought about coming to Iceland for a long time now. It was always on my bucket list. Coming with Martin and Tim was the best idea that, you know, has ever come to me. Basically, I would never found half the places on my own. They know every nook and cranny of Iceland, and it was a great trip. And actually looking forward to coming back.
Great stuff. Thanks, Rob.
Hi, Colleen from Toronto, Canada. I found the trip really inspiring, and not only for seeing some iconic places, but for Martin and Tim to show us some really hidden gems, really quite awe-inspiring, and push me as a purely amateur photographer into me developing my skills further. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm John from Toronto, Canada. It's been a great trip, lots to photograph, but one observation, the clouds are very uncooperative.
It depends what you want them to do. They rained a little bit too much sometimes. Bunny.
Hi, I'm Bunny from Asheville, North Carolina, and Iceland is even more beautiful than I thought. And just a word of caution is to not to believe the stuff about travel tripods. They are not sturdy and they break easily, and I would invest the money in a larger suitcase and bring your own tripod.
Good advice. Evan.
Evan from Australia, and had a fantastic time. It was basically looking to see some amazing landscapes, and I saw stuff that was beyond what I could have possibly imagined whilst I was over here. I've loved being able to learn from Tim and Martin as well. I think from Tim I've learned an enormous amount about creative ways of thinking and what to look for and when setting up my shots, and from Martin, I was going to call you Bailey for a second there.
That's all right.
From Martin, the huge amount of technical ability as well as setting things up and all those aspects. So I've learned an extremely large amount from this trip. Loved every minute of it, and the food was amazing.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Malcolm from the UK. This is my second tour led by Martin and his teams. And this trip to Iceland has been truly fantastic. And there have been a wide variety of photo opportunities supported by Martin's excellent photographic expertise and practical advice. And moreover, what's made the overall trip special has been the wonderful fellow participants on the tour, where we've shared a lot of fun and shared ideas and practical insights to take our photography to the next level. It's been a super trip, Martin. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Márcio Viana from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. My expectations were overcome. Wonderful locations, amazing food, very well organized. Martin and Tian are great leaders, helping you all the time with their wisdom and great tips. Looks like a family travel with members sharing knowledge and their photography passion, but no fights.
Hi, I'm Bill Pelsman from Denver, Colorado. The highlight of my trip, among many highlights, certainly was Lanmelagalur. As a geologist, the multicolored altered volcanics and the landscape, landforms there were just fabulous. And being able to wander through there for several miles and leisurely shoot from a variety of perspectives made it extra special. I can certainly see where that area is rated by National Geographic as one of the 10 best hikes in the world. So looking forward to returning there again.
Helen from Australia. This has been a fantastic trip, well-paced, lots of amazing locations, some truly breathtakingly beautiful moments. Great country, great company, great food and wine, fantastic.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chris.
Hello, this is Chris Allen from Asheville, North Carolina. The best thing about this trip for me and my wife, who came as well, we're both avid nature photographers, was knowing where to go, how long to stay there. I'm sure that if we tried to do this trip on our own, we would have had endless arguments about how long to stay at each spot, and we wouldn't have gotten to half as many beautiful photography locations as we did with Martin and Tim guiding the trip. So I loved it.
Okay, great stuff.
So before we, in the dark here now in a tunnel, before we I stop this off, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for coming. I've really enjoyed traveling with you all, and we'll hopefully see you again at some point. So thank you very much. And let's give a round of applause to Gunnar, our driver. He's been great. Thank you, Gunnar.
You know, it's always really weird listening to that message. It's always a few weeks after the tour is finished, and the memory started to fade a little bit, but that propels me right back to the bus with the participants, and we have such a great time on these tours. So it's really nice to listen to everybody again and hear how good a time they had. It's a pleasure for me to be able to bring this experience to people. So, you know, great recording and really brilliant group that we had again this year. Before we finish, I also wanted to mention that in addition to currently having one space left on our 2016 Iceland Full Circle Tour, I have teamed up with Tim Folmer for a new tour in Greenland that promises to be pretty amazing as well. We'll be visiting the eastern side of Greenland with fjords and beautiful scenery, glaciers and huge icebergs, which we'll explore from boats and helicopters. And we'll be on land too, of course, shooting both the incredible scenery and a number of cultural experiences as we photograph the local people making kayaks and performing the Inuit drum dance. For details and to book your place, visit mbp.ac/Greenland2016. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.